Hello, everyone. It is past midnight on Good Friday. How is everyone doing? I hope you're doing well. It's been a while, so I just want to go over some hot topics, which, as you know, that's not really what we do here, but at the P-Valley podcast, but we're always evolving, and so much has gone down within just the past few days. I'm talking about Diddy. I'm talking about P. Diddy. I'm talking about Puff Daddy, Sean Combs. He's gone by so many different names, and it looks like we're getting the black version of Epstein and Epstein Island. I feel that we don't even, we have no clue of everything that's about to go down, but it seems as though law enforcement is going to get to the bottom of things and make sure that we understand everything that has been going on allegedly for decades. I feel like Diddy has, whatever he's been up to, allegedly, it must have been for the majority of his career, and he's had a very long running career. I mean, where do we begin or end when it comes to these allegations? It's, you know, I was thinking about Cat Williams. Cat Williams, during his Club Shay Shay interview, was saying how it was always his goal, something like to keep his butthole intact. Cat Williams was saying something along those lines. And like, everybody is key-keying over it. Now it makes sense. It makes sense. I feel that Kat was referring to whatever someone like Diddy was allegedly doing. Kat wasn't saying that to make anyone laugh. I think Kat was basically trying to say that there's a lot of men sleeping with men in the entertainment industry, and it's on the DL and nobody knows. I mean, Christian Keys came out, said he was finna expose someone, but he didn't, which I'm really upset about. But I think the lid is about to be blown off of whatever has been allegedly going on. And people are praising Cassie. And yes, Cassie deserves to be praised because what she did is very courageous, especially she's a mother. She probably had to fear for her life and the lives of her kids by going forward. But if the feds raid your house, that means that they've had their eyes on you for years. That's what I've been told. So I don't think Cassie has much to do with the raid, but wow. I mean, I felt it in my bones that 2024 was going to be a very big year. And thus far, we're just in the first quarter and so much is going down. So Diddy has always been known, I've always felt that Diddy was a horrific asshole. He's never seemed likable to me. I take that back. Diddy, I love his drive and his energy and that he's really into partying, but he just has always come across as a raging asshole and a very mean, heartless, cutthroat person. I cannot feel bad about Diddy's downfall. First of all, the things that he allegedly was a part of, like, that's what nightmares are made of. But that aside, like, this was not someone who seemed kind in any capacity. So I'm not about to be a Diddy apologist, and I'm sure as hell not going to talk about how some white people get away with crimes as though that's supposed to absolve Diddy of what he did. Like, no. Judgment Day does come for some people, not everyone. It does come for some people, and it looks like Diddy right now is in the line of fire. It took people forever to get R. Kelly up on out of here, and now it looks like Diddy, it's his turn. I'm ready. I really, really hope that everybody who is involved with alleged sex trafficking crimes, whether they're famous or not, I hope that they, you know, I hope that they go to jail for it. I mean, that's not a hot take, but all I'm saying is I'm optimistic if more attention is being brought to this type of criminal activity, and if more people face consequences for it. I'm optimistic about it. I might be delusional, but at least, you know, whoever we take down, that's however many less people who are able to abuse others. So it's really, really encouraging. But, you know, through this whole Diddy situation, we have, I guess his name is Jordan, I don't know, but he claimed that Young Miami and Daphne Joy are both sex workers, and that Young Miami gave Diddy, got pink, what did they call it, pink cocaine for Diddy one time. Here's the thing. There was a story on TMZ that said that, you know, this story about Young Miami getting drugs for Diddy or bringing drugs to Diddy does not add up because she was in another state, like getting ready for the Met Gala. So what I'm just choosing to believe that Young Miami's reps are correct. Like, if somebody is literally in another location when they're being accused of something, like, that's a cut, an open and shut argument. However, what I want to say is, if this man, I think his name is Jordan, forgive me, but anyways, if he is alleging truths in his lawsuit and throwing in lies into his lawsuit, then his credibility is going to be questioned. And I hope that whatever potential inaccuracies that may exist in his lawsuit, that doesn't skew the public's opinion and or how this lawsuit will shake out. Because as far as Young Miami, I always hated that couple, opposed that couple. I always felt like she was sleeping with Diddy for obvious reasons. You know, there's a very popular black podcast and the host kept on saying she's not sleeping with Diddy. Like, I'm sorry, they look ridiculous. Like, why would Diddy be flying a bad bitch around if they are not having sex? Like, please be for real. You know, and it was like they clung to that narrative, like, oh, they're just, she's not sleeping, like, sleeping with him, what? So anyway, I always hated Young Miami and Diddy because of the age discrepancy, and I just thought that Young Miami didn't need to be that thirsty to be sleeping with someone who looks like a rat. But anyways, if Young Miami was a sex worker for Diddy, then it makes sense. And if Daphne Joy was a sex worker for Diddy, it also makes sense. Now, Daphne Joy had a baby with 50 Cent. She has a son. And so 50 Cent, of course, has been trolling, calling Daphne Joy a sex worker on his Instagram after the lawsuit claimed that Young Miami and Daphne Joy are sex workers. Now, Daphne Joy fired back, said that 50 Cent raped her and abused her. Like, okay, here's the thing about 50 Cent. He is obsessed with trolling people to a point where it seems very obvious to me that he is unwell. That's not the behavior of that's not the behavior of somebody who doesn't have some things going on upstairs, right? And so when I say some things, like just an evilness about him, like a bottomless pit, or a bottomless desire to just make people feel bad. There's like, he doesn't have humanity, honestly, when you think about it, because, you know, when you're on the other side of 50 Cent's online barrel and he's coming for you on social media, what if one of the people that he's come for was so broken that he brought them to suicide? I mean, he's relentless. He really knows how to be on people's necks. And he apparently made some Diddy documentary that I'm dying to see, but like, why is he making a documentary? Like, what is wrong with him? Anyways, So as far as Daphne Joy's claims, I will say this. I'm not someone who sits here and says, believe all women, but 50 Cent has not presented himself to me as an empathet, as a feminist, as an empath, as a kind, sweet, considerate, thoughtful person. So when, with the person that I see trolling people relentlessly for years and years, is accused of rape or rape and abuse, give me one reason as to why I would think that that's not true. So, you know, this is getting very interesting, right? This Diddy situation, because 50 Cent, he was obsessed with trolling Diddy, and now it looks like shots have been fired. And I think Daphne Joy, she's the one. You know, 50 might have hella skeletons in his closet, but he really acts like he's holier than thou. I'm ready for all of the takedown of all of these assholes, okay? In case that wasn't clear. I don't stand none of these fools, and anyone who's been doing dirt, I'm ready for that shit to be brought to light, and it feels like I don't even gotta be ready. It looks like it's all about to come out. So, I'm thankful. Moving right along, we got Rebel Wilson. We got Rebel Wilson saying that Sacha Baron Cohen, like, basically forced her to put her finger in his butt on the set of their movie. And so, you know, Rebel was saying that his team was threatening her about the book. Then Sacha said that he has proof that that didn't happen. Then Sacha released his video proof today. Now, I didn't watch the video because I stand with Sacha Baron Cohen. But all I got to say is Rebel Wilson, and I saw a story, it said that Rebel Wilson lost her virginity at 35 years old. That's a problem. First and foremost, that's a problem. And so if this movie took place in 2016, I think Rebel might have still been a virgin-ass bitch. But anyway, I think somebody who loses their virginity at 35, someone who is overweight in an industry and business where they don't want you to be overweight, someone who might have felt that they were not what they think that society would want, as far as looks at least, someone who clearly had like intimacy issues and all that, someone who checks the boxes of what I described, they may be happy to complain and take some people down. So I stand with Sacha Baron Cohen simply because I feel that Rebel Wilson, she seems to kind of be a clout chaser. Well, not a clout chaser, but just hungry for attention sometimes, based off of just some of the stories that come out about her. I feel like nobody was asking, just in general. But I really did not like Rebel Wilson at all. I met Rebel Wilson, and I really did not like her in the slightest. So it's like, you know, I'm biased. People who listen to this podcast know that I'm biased when it comes to people I liked and didn't like in person. But, you know, I don't think that Rebel really had to come hard for Sacha Baron Cohen just to try to move copies of her book. Like, I'm avoiding her book. I'm sure her fan base will buy her book. And if she was in fact a virgin when she filmed this scene with Sasha, yeah, she might feel violated if she's being asked to put a finger up someone's ass, because, you know, she hasn't even put a finger up anyone's ass. But apparently the footage shows that she was all about it. So I don't even understand why then Rebel came out and said, oh, he's an asshole for releasing footage. Bitch, he has a right to release proof. And I'm sorry, but his story contradicts your story. Get over it. You're still going to sell copies of your book. Shut the fuck up. Again, I don't like Rebel, so I'm not Team Rebel. She was an asshole in person. Next, we got Tiffany New York Pollard. She's coming back for House of Villains Season 2. Now, in Season 1, she was voted off fairly quickly, but this was after the things that she said went completely viral on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and wherever else. Like, Tiffany New York Pollard from Flavor of Love is reality TV gold. She is older, but she still is. I was on the floor pretty much every time New York opened her mouth on House of Villains Season 1. So I am seated for her return. And I will be saying I'm not watching any of the episodes after New York is voted off, because they don't have enough cast members that I'm familiar with or care about. Excuse me. Next, we got Andrew Huberman. Andrew Huberman is a scientist and a scholar. And I'm just laughing because this is all so ridiculous. He is huge. Like, and a professor at Stanford. And anyways, like, people in his industry, they are not always on Joe Rogan. They are not basically, like, A-list when it comes to among their colleagues. You just don't see that, right? A lot of the people who work in, science? What's the right word to say? I guess science. A lot of people who work within Huberman's industry, they're not, like, recognizable. They don't have one of the largest podcasts in the world. I think Andrew Huberman's podcast is, like, the fourth most popular or third most on Spotify or Apple, I heard. So, you know, the man is wealthy off of his podcast. Then he appears on so many podcasts. Then he's always on Rogan, and he has a huge following. The man is a huge success. So this article, basically, in the New York Magazine. I didn't read the article, but I did listen to a podcast that discussed it. Basically, the article comes out and says, like, Andrew is living two lives. He's saying one thing online, and then he's living another way. So Andrew apparently has six girlfriends that he has unprotected sex with, and he tells every single one of his hoes, "You're the only one." I'm sorry, that is so funny. It is so funny that this man knows how to juggle like a motherfucker. And so basically, like, there's people in his comments like, this man knows how to optimize his time. I'm listening to him. Anybody who has six girlfriends, they know how to optimize their time. He is the king. Like, I agree. How the hell are you juggling six bitches successfully? Like, what? And you have every single girl thinking they're the only one. Like, this, the effort, right? The effort. You got to make sure five of your hoes are not texting you when you're with one of your hoes. Like, what? You got to keep your story straight. You got to be on top of your shit. And that's what Andrew is. It is inspiring. How the hell do you juggle six hoes simultaneously? And then apparently he was in a relationship with a celebrity, and the podcast I listened to, they guessed it was Amber Heard. And I hope it was Amber Heard, because guess what, if Andrew was with Amber and Amber caught wind, as they say, caught wind, makes me sound 108 years old. If Amber Heard got wind of Andrew Huberman's five other bitches, like, you know, she took a shit on his bed. So again, like, I hope it was Amber Heard. And I hope Amber Heard found out about all his other hoes, and I hope she took a shit on his bed. Anyways, I didn't read the article, but I mean, I heard it was really long, and it's just really amusing how he was juggling the hoes. Like, apparently there was, like, one day where he must have, like, stacked up his dates. He probably broke every one of those bitches off, broke their backs. or put their back out. The man really is a caveman. That's what he was referred to on a podcast I listened to. Like, he looks like a caveman and has a lot of caveman-like ideas. So calling Andrew a caveman is a really good description. But I don't know. This is what I'm going to say about Andrew Huberman. Every single time I've heard him on, or the one time I heard him on a podcast, and when I, like, see and watch his clips, he's on top of his game. He's extremely intelligent, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's beyond passionate. And so some people say that they went after, or basically this is, like, a hit piece because he's against Big Pharma, and I wouldn't put it past me, but all I know is that what the Andrew Huberman somewhat scandal has done, or what I believe it has done, is it's probably put more people on to Andrew Huberman. A lot of people who didn't know about him probably discovered him. And so I'm not mad at that, because he teaches what he teaches seems really good. And I would really like to incorporate some of what he teaches into my lifestyle. I'm just not there yet, but I hope to be. So, you know, everybody today really is canceled, and I mean, when you're canceled in a lot of ways, people go online, they get out all of their issues in the comments, and then you're fine. Honestly, like, it blows over and you're fine. You're going to have people who are always going to be in your comments with bullshit, but it dwindles down, and so it's... And that's encouraging, because some of the people who are quote-unquote canceled really didn't deserve it. So I'm glad that it seems like people come around. And Andrew has yet to speak on the article, and it's hilarious to me, because I imagine that when the article came out, he had a complete meltdown. But he's, you know, being a forward-facing public figure on social media, he is not acknowledging any of it. He's just posting his videos and his updates like none of this happened, and it's so funny to me. Apparently something that was said in the article is he's really into his dog. To me, that makes him a saint. That's not a bad thing, but I don't know. I don't think he really wants to wife a bitch if he was juggling six bitches, and he should keep it that way because he's for the streets. Like, this is community dick, okay? Unprotected sex with six women. Who knows if there weren't other hoes? Who knows if he didn't cap it at six? Like, the fact that he took it to six makes me question if he wasn't still giving dick to randoms on top of that six simultaneously and having unprotected sex with six of these women. And one of them got HPV from him or whatever. Like, he's for the streets. And it's funny because this is what I'll say. As much as he's not saying anything or whatever, you know, his colleagues are probably giving him mad side eye at Stanford. Mad side eye. So that's embarrassing, but he deserves it. Like, what a fuck boy. Telling every single one of those girls you're the only one. Oh my gosh. Like, somebody make a movie about Andrew Huberman. I will watch it. Okay? Get on it. Steal that idea. Next, we got Miss Ariana Madix of Vanderpump Rules. She bought a $1.6 million mansion in here in the Hollywood Hills. Here's what I love about this. First and foremost, I love that she is not in the Valley. Like, the Valley sucks. I'm sorry. Generally speaking, the Valley sucks. Hollywood Hills is definitely where you want to be. Second of all, Ariana said that at the time that the scandal broke, she only had $2,000 in her bank account. And she was actually reaching out to her agents and managers like, please, you got to give me some money, loan me some money, or get me some work. So the timing of Scandoval breaking is absolutely perfect. It's brilliant. But what I love about Ariana buying a house, and they say that she's moving into it, is it's a huge sign of her ending the standoff with Tom Sandoval about who's should move or get out the house first. She already filed paperwork so that trying to get a judge to demand the sell that they sell the house, Tom and Ariana. I don't see why she should lose that case trying to get a judge to say, okay, you have to sell the house so Tom can move. I believe that she'll be victorious in that case. And I love that with her moving into her own place, especially like the state of her room was so embarrassing. Like it was way too messy. Anyways, with her moving out, she's actually able to move on. How can you move on when your ex of 9 years cheats on you with your friend when you're sharing a roof? This is the best thing for Ariana, and she's probably going to be like, man, I wish I did this sooner. But at the same time, this is a $1.6 million house. I don't think Ariana really had the funds to be able to get this property until Scandoval broke, and then she got booked on everything. So I'm so happy for Ariana getting to get away from Tom Sandoval into a gorgeous Hollywood Hills home. And it just came out officially, I think yesterday, that Ariana is the host of next season of Love Island USA. Now, Ariana was obsessed with the show, as we found out on Vanderpump Rules. But for myself, if I'm obsessed with a show and a fan of a show, I don't want to be the host. I don't want to know how the sausage is made. But Ariana was already guest hosting on there before, and she's a reality star. She knows that it's all bullshit, and she's still going to be a huge fan. So we love, love, love this for Ariana. And at this point, I feel that Ariana should just maybe pay off Rachel Raquel Levis. You know, Rachel sued her for revenge porn, I think. She should just pay the bitch off, if she hasn't already. Like, I don't know if I would want to be trying to fight Rachel when I would want Rachel to be so incredibly dead to me if I were Ariana. And last we got Lizzo, who put up a post that sounded like she's suicidal or that she wants to stop working in the music industry. And apparently she was at some event for Biden and I think Kamala a few days ago, and MAGA supporters found out and really have trolled her relentlessly. And I don't know, I didn't look at the trolling, but I heard she's been really trolled really hard in recent days because she went to this event. And of course that would make the Trump supporters irate. How dare this fat black bitch go to an event in support of a Democrat? But Lizzo, I hope, or I'm not speaking directly to her, I'm speaking about her when I said Lizzo and I paused. I hope that all the positivity that she sees on her profile will shift her opinion and make her feel better about being here and putting out her art and her music, because Lizzo is necessary for this generation. When there's so many women who are like a size 5 and they think that they're morbidly obese, it's so important to have someone like Lizzo dress like someone who's tiny would dress, you know, show off her body and be confident. We need that energy always. And I'm so glad that we got it from a talented musician, singer-songwriter like Lizzo. And Lizzo's definitely seemed like she is shy. Not the most confident person when people come for her. But, you know, I hope that she won't allow the haters to win. I hope that she was just having a moment. And we need her. Don't we? I mean, her first album is such a gift. It's really a great, great, great album for single people or people going through a breakup. And, you know, I feel like Lizzo and her boyfriend are no longer together. I haven't seen any content with them or references to him. And I guess I got to Google that, but that makes me really sad if they broke up, because I was hoping that they were endgame. But anyway, so you're all caught up on current events. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you later. Good night. Happy Easter. Happy Friday. Happy Saturday. Actually, it's already Saturday. All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.